Now for our responsive reading this morning, if you would turn to that wonderful portion in John 14, the first to the 14th verses, John 14, the first to the 14th verses. And this is a tremendous portion. I think probably it is so well regarded by the Christian community, and even by those outside, that if you would look into a book, let's say, prepared for ministers of funeral services and different things, you'd find that this John 14 is an essential part of those, because it speaks of the preparation of a place for those who love Christ. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Jesus is speaking here. Believe also in me. The word mansions in the Greek is many abiding places. The abiding life in Jesus Christ is fulfilled. He is preparing a place for us, an abiding place, where we will abide with him forever. And so he's preparing, as the word is used here, he's preparing mansions. The thought is rather wonderful. Preparing mansions for us. Because to be with Christ will be far beyond anything you might know upon the face of this earth. And, of course, to those who, speaking in our present tongue, in our present way, mansions has a great deal of meaning. In the Greek, abiding places is most important. We shall abide with Christ forever. How blessed and how wonderful to know that we are now seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Spiritually, we are already there. And one day, in glorified bodies, we shall be with him for all eternity. What a joy. And to know the truth of it. Isn't it great you don't have to doubt? What a sad journey you're on if it's just to a grave and a coffin. Sarah, how silly all this is. All the frustrations, all the trials, all the burdens, all the problems, and then blackness and darkness forever. How terrible. But when we know he's preparing a place, isn't that wonderful? He's preparing a place. The one who made the heavens and the earth and all that is seen, visible and invisible, the only wise God, our Savior, be majesty and power, dominion and glory. We're joint heirs with Christ of this heavenly kingdom. Preparing a place. Boy, we could go on and on, couldn't we? About this tremendous joy in store for us. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the glories which God hath prepared for those that love him. But God hath revealed it unto us by his Spirit. He's given us a taste, you see. Can you sense it in your heart? Can you sense it in your heart? That's what it means. He's revealed it to you by his Spirit. The world doesn't know what we're talking about. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard the glories that God has prepared for them that love them. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit that dwells in us. He gives us a taste of heaven. Do you have a little taste of heaven on earth? Remember, the mustard seed faith will get you to heaven. But a great faith brings heaven down to earth. See? Mustard seed faith, yeah, it'll get you there. But that isn't what you want. You want heaven on earth in your heart, so that you know when God says, the kingdom of God dwells within you, you've received the Holy Spirit. You see? You can taste it. You can taste it. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Might say here, just in passing, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Right? The taste thing, you see? And once you've tasted, then the things of the world grow strangely dim. But if you quote that verse without the tasting of these glorious things that God has prepared for us, and if the Holy Spirit isn't revealing it to you day by day, then the world is still going to not be dim, but quite glamorous, if I might say. Money, position, power, prestige, possessions, jewelry, furs, everything becomes super important, if I might say. But I hope if you wear furs and you have a little jewelry, it's at a minimum. I dread seeing Christians loaded with diamonds, while a world is starving, while brethren have needs. God has no place for such ostentatiousness. All right, you've got your engagement ring. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But you know, when I see some of these television, you know, every finger. And then, so, you know, someone looks at it and says, isn't that beautiful? Yes. My seventh husband just gave me that 10 carats. God deliver us. It's not of God. It's of Satan. Acquisitions that last after you for generations to your children, God's not interested in it. Sufficient unto the day. All right? The evil thereof. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Oh, that God would impress it into our hearts. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?
Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son.
If ye shall ask in my name, I will do it.
May God bless this wonderful portion of his precious word. May I say this? If you would relate that last portion, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. You must relate that to chapter 15. And you must relate it to verses 6 and 7. If ye abide in me, and my words, pardon me, abide in you, then you may ask me what you will, and I will do it. In other words, the preconditions must be met before God will fulfill in your prayer life. And so I just pray that God will wonderfully apply to your hearts this portion of his precious word.